Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hey, thanks for being with us today. Janie and I are looking into the four M's of emotion, how they are molecules, messengers, messy, and manageable. Today, our focus will be on how emotions are messengers.
The enemy will never be content with just getting you on his side because, you see, he can only destroy, only destroy. So some people give in and just say, hey, I can't fight it. It's bigger than what I can do. But you have to realize that the enemy, he's not a team player. He won't just get you over onto his side and then relax. No, he will continue to destroy the people that are even on his side.
And Janie, we've been talking about the four M's of emotion. And last week, we began discussing how emotions are messengers. And I would like to talk some more about that because I'm a little slow and sometimes you just gotta draw me a picture.
Well, I wish we had it on video because let me tell you, it would be a lot easier to teach if we could do the illustrations, I assure you.
So we talked about the messengers. There are thoughts. They respond to how we feel and vice versa, and it's kind of a endless cycle. I guess my question is, where do those thoughts come from?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Because if we have the next 2 hours, we could probably start to get a handle on it.
Really? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me unless we can understand that those thoughts are coming from somewhere.
That's right. And that's very good evaluation. And I appreciate you bringing that question up. Now, what I'm going to ask from you is that if I start to say something and it doesn't resonate, because we all have different ways we learn. You just give me that deer in the headlight look and I'll
raise
amplify.
My hand.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, since we are not theologians, nor are we scientists, nor are we medical experts, I just want to start off with a verse of scripture.
Okay.
Where we do spend a lot of our time and can take our confidence from what we know from the Word of God. And in John 14:26, one of the first places we look for where our thoughts originate would be from the Holy Spirit. And in 14:26 of John, it says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, will bring to remembrance all that I have said to you." So if we are doing as we have been talking about for the last few weeks and months, learning to live by the Spirit and looking to the Word of God as our final authority, then we're going to already have as our second nature to have an ear that is responsive to the thoughts. So you and I, without going into detail, have had some real challenges. And yet because we have been forming habits of going to the scriptures, then when the crisis has hit, then the scripture is what comes to mind because the Holy Spirit is free to plant that thought or originate that thought.
Right.
So my first thing is, okay, I've got something going on here. Is it from the Spirit? Spirit, what do you want to say to me? And usually scripture will come, and then I may have to search how that is going to be applied. But that is where I get a lot of my confidence, is because I can trust that the Spirit is anxious in a healthy way to let me know what thoughts that He wants to generate for whatever the circumstance may be.
Okay.
Now, does that resonate so far?
Yes. When we were discussing this earlier, Bob shared with me that at a very early age, Bob being your husband.
Yes.
At a very early age, we begin to receive messages and impressions about ourselves from those around us, parents, brothers, sisters, kids on the playground, teachers, etc. These messages result in approval and acceptance that makes us feel okay about ourselves, or brings us disapproval and rejection that makes us feel bad. Now, that really spoke to me about where we build ourselves in our thought process.
Okay, so then let's put a point two. Point one, the Holy Spirit brings the thoughts.
Okay.
All right. Then point two, past experiences. Now, how does a past experience that you learned years ago control you today? It'll go back to really where our identity is. If we have had past experiences that have traumatized us or put us into a negative mindset, parents who said, oh, you'll never amount to anything, and then you lived up to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Or I wish you were like your brother or your sister, or a teacher who put you down in front of the whole classroom.
Right.
Those things go deep, deep down into our subconscious. And as we've taught, they are substances. They have mass. They hang out someplace in our body and cause us pain. And then they also cause our brains to revert back to anything that we find is familiar. Such as, and this is, we will use a lot of personal experiences today because we're applying.
Okay, so you say when a teacher puts you down in front of the whole class or something like that, well, that could come back later in years when you're married and your husband corrects you or about a situation in a very loving manner, and it's in front of somebody, and that could make you feel very small.
But it still stings. It still stings.
Yeah.
And if you felt shame in front of that class, then even if your husband is trying to instruct you in a godly way,
right,
that shame will come back up. And if you remember,
and then that causes emotional outbursts or emotional responses according to our thoughts.
Yes, and then remember that our brain is uniquely made by our Creator, and He has made our brains to think in a consistent pattern. So what was stored perhaps in your mind as a child, those thing responses will come out of the library of storage, mm-hmm. and they will be the same thing that you've lived again. One of the things that can happen is, let's just say you have a friend, and the friend engages in just some conversation with you, and you find in talking with that friend that they're in some real difficulties right now. They're in an abusive situation. Maybe it's just verbally. Maybe their spouse has just left them. And it will be very easy for you to relate to those same negative hurts, and you will take up their offense.
Mm.
All right?
Okay.
Because it hurts. They have right. been hurt, and you're identifying with their hurt, and you'll take it up, and you'll feel very justified. And I've heard many people talk about, so-and-so's had such-and-such done to them, and they rattle on and on and on, not realizing that they are doing destruction to their own physical being, and that negativity that's coming out from their energy and their body is harming the very person that they want to be helping. We wow. cannot take up an offense. If Jesus Christ has taken care of it all, we can only empathize. We can bear someone's burden. But Sharon, sometimes when we take up someone else's offense, we actually hinder what the Lord is wanting to do in their life. Maybe they're going through something because it is a consequence of something else.
And maybe God needed us to be a light of joy or encouragement.
And a balance.
Of something for them. And instead, we've taken up their offense and
created negativity on two people.
Yes.
Okay? Now, let's jump to a point three.
Okay.
If the Holy Spirit is working to create His thinking, do we think that the enemy is out having a coffee break? No. The enemy can also be the originator of thoughts. All right? That's why you and I sound like a broken record when we're talking about being in the Word, being in the Scripture, being absolute. And some people may think, those girls just know one thing. Well, praise God, we know one thing.
Yeah. I'm not sure we claim to know anything.
There are days that we might question that. But the enemy is going to come in as he did in the garden with just a subtle suggestion. And may I tell you that I would like to expose one of his tricks, and that is to give you 90% of the truth, perhaps even laced with a lot of scripture. But there'll be a 10% at least of a false lie that's out of the pit of hell, and it is for the purpose of causing you to be deceived, destructive, and self-serving. Now, some people would say, okay, I can't distinguish the two, and so I get entrapped. But let me tell you, you know when somebody wants to destroy you. You may not be able to figure it out right up front, but if you're a believer, the Spirit will start to wage a battle on your behalf. And what we need to realize is that the enemy will never be content with just getting you on his side. Because you see, he can only destroy, only destroy. So some people give in and just say, hey, I can't fight it. It's bigger than what I can do. But you have to realize that the enemy, well, he's not a team player. He won't just get you over onto his side and then relax. No, he's the only one in town. And he will continue to destroy the people that are even on his side.
Yeah.
Because he's not a team player. So that's why we have to say our emotions can really be fickle. And one absolute that helped me so much in my battle to understand emotions, and that is, once I do see the truth, then I will claim the truth and start to form that habit as we've talked about. But Sharon, my emotions are not going to just say, oh, I'm going to roll over and play dead and go along with you. No, that volition that's made the choice, sometimes that's when the emotions come in and just fight you tooth and toenail, cause you to even question your sanity. And that becomes acute when you're in a crisis, because you've already got your emotions stirred, being pulled back and forth. And that is such a playground for the enemy. But the Holy Spirit will bear witness if we will just say, emotions, I know you're messed up right now, but I've made a decision. And that decision is going to be, I'm going to praise the Lord every day for 30 days. I'm going to form a habit until praising the Lord and rejoicing and looking into the Word is second nature. So that's the way we take some of these thoughts that originate from negative sources, past experiences or the enemy, and right, we turn them around because God's given us the ability.
We're recognizing that our emotions are coming from our thoughts, and our thoughts could be coming from just remembering past experiences. Somebody may give you a wrong word or a bad look or say something that's hurtful, not even intending to, but brings up thoughts from the past that were hurtful. You know, those thoughts come in, well, wonder what she meant by that, or why'd he look at me like that?
And that is so important on why we need, you talked about past experiences, that's why we need to be grounded in our identity. Because you see, if we're solid in our identity, then we will revert back to our identity. Paul, who gave us 21 of the 28 books, had everybody in Asia forsake him. Now, he had no idea that he was going to influence billions of lives.
Right.
But he maintained his confidence in who he was in spite of the rejection. And many people give a verbal and nonverbal communications. Have you ever, and I'm going to use us ladies since this is a woman to woman, have you ever been in a conversation with a group of ladies and have somebody just maybe say something sweetly, but there is a note of sarcasm? Or there is very sweet words, but there's the roll of the eyes or some sort of inflection, and that says more than maybe
what their
the
words
sweet
are
words.
Saying.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So then we need to recognize that we are being given an opportunity to have originator of the thoughts that is going to bring about a judgmental attitude or something that, if we know the scriptures, we'll call it into check. But a lot of times we don't want to make waves.
And we let our thoughts carry us away.
I think
I've been guilty of that. Let my thoughts lead me to other thoughts, and those thoughts lead you to other thoughts, and pretty soon you're practicing in the mirror how you're gonna manage this emotion with this person, and there's nothing there to begin with. It was all just originated out of a weird look or a funny comment or something.
And we have a word for that. That is working off of our assumptions. And I'm not going to get fleshly here, but you can take the word assume and break it down and see what it what it can be broken down into, all right? But you've also mentioned memories, and I want to give a couple of illustrations today from actual cases to where we have to realize that things that are stored in our body can come out in very unusual ways. I had a person that I know very well, and this person could not stand to see the color yellow. They would get physically nauseated. And so we went through some counseling. We went through a lot of different things, as well as some doctors helping out. And as her memories were able to free themselves up, you see, sometimes these memories are locked inside of us and they trouble us and we have restlessness, but we can't find where they're coming from, all right?
Right.
Because they're locked.
I don't know why I get so emotional at the color yellow.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Okay.
So as this person was able to work through and commit it to the Lord and ask the Lord to open up where the locking was, this person was able to remember some terrible abuses that took place in a barn with a lot of straw and hay, the color yellow.
Huh.
But it had been so traumatic that the emotions and the memory had been locked, paralyzed. And it took the Word of God, counseling, wisdom, the Spirit being able to bring it back because they were now ready to deal with it.
Wow.
All right.
That's amazing.
Now let's take something a little bit not quite so dramatic. And let's talk about smell. Smell just fascinates me because it works differently than our other senses do. So have you ever been at Grandma's house and had a smell that just delighted you and it was wonderful to be at Grandma's? We used to churn butter, and that does date me a little, doesn't it? But after that butter was churned and that cream was made into butter, then we would put it on some of her homemade bread, stick it under the broiler, and we would have fresh bread with that butter. And today, if I am feeling a bit down, a piece of buttered toast just sparks positive memories and feelings. And so my body is able to really relax over a piece of bread. I'm not sure what it does for the waistline, but it certainly does a lot for positive thinking. So we have to realize that sometimes we're perplexed and the Lord is saying, it's now time for you to deal with this. So something that we've had hidden that we don't even remember,
right?
But it's still there, taking up space. Then the Lord will say, it's now time, and the Holy Spirit will start to guide us. And Sharon, that can be very painful as we start to uncover and have to relive some of those. And then having someone who is a friend that sticketh with you closer than a brother is really what we need at that time to help carry us through. Another thing that can be the originator of our thoughts are our senses. And I'm going to go to that nose, because as the nose knows, and I spell that differently,
yes,
it works differently than our other senses. We have our eye gate, we have our ear gate, we have the mouth, we have touch, we have feel, but the nose does something a little differently. All four of our five senses work through what we call a prefrontal cortex. So put your hand right now to your forehead.
Okay.
And then bring it back up just a little bit on the first part of your, okay. This is your frontal cortex. Now let me tell you about this part of your body. Sharon, this is where you go for your reasoning, where you go for your problem solving, your comprehension of what you're reading or studying, your impulse control, your creativity, and your ability to persevere. Do you ever remember the series on TV called Columbo?
Uh-huh.
The detective?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember his trademark where he would take his hand and he would take it up to his forehead when he was trying to solve
and hold his temples?
Uh-huh. Do you know that was symbolically telling you where your thinking originates in your brain? In that frontal, that's where it's processed,
okay?
And there's a lot of things that we need to know about that particular sense, because the nose bypasses the frontal cortex, All right?
Okay.
And so now you can maybe move your hands around a little bit, around maybe above your ears a little bit. And this is where your limbic system or your emotional part of your brain can be influenced. Now, it's deep within your head. It's not right here on the tip of your ears. But the nose bypasses that logic and reason. So why does smelling that fresh buttered toast quiet me? Because it goes directly to the emotional part of my being. I don't have to reason out why it smells good. I don't have to decide how it was processed. It just goes to my limbic system. And you know what's in my limbic system?
What?
The amygdala, who stores all my emotions.
Okay.
So now do you understand why the art of aromatherapy has gained such preeminence in the last 20 years in America? Aromatherapy, the gift of smelling, goes directly to that limbic system. So they can take a newborn with colic and give it a couple of drops of lavender, and it quiets a newborn. Now, you can't put just any kind of oil on a newborn, but you can certainly quiet a child with colic through its sense of smell. God has made us so beautifully so that if we can't comprehend because we're confused and we're upset, we can smell something that is pleasant, maybe the rose petals or something like that, and actually calm us and help us to sleep. And I would like to take some time. We won't have time today, but I'd like to even talk about this a little as part of the healing process as we go through this series.
Okay.
But
well, Janie, you really have taught me a lot just in this part of this section, because I really was a little confused about how emotions were messengers. Well, that didn't make sense to me. Like I said, sometimes you just got to draw me a picture.
Well, and if we've got a couple of minutes, let me give us a warning, especially if we have children. Visual stimulation, video games, television, staying on our social media with all of the brightness, but visual stimulation without rational processing. Now, think about those two words. Okay. Will directly gratify emotional desires of envy for material possessions and consumption. And this constant barragement, I'm not saying that quite right, from our media is simply causing us to do what they did in the Garden of Eden. They gave way to the lust of their eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So we really do need to be aware of what we expose our eye gate to and what we allow our children to expose the eye gate to. So we've really just, again, hit the tip of the iceberg. But this, to me, is what we have needed so long to bring balance.
Yeah.
Because the Word of God already tells us. We just don't know how to recognize it in the Word of God.
And there's a lot of things that we read in Scripture and we learn from Scripture. But learning how to apply it, I think this goes right back to learning how to apply.
It does.
You have to know and recognize what those thoughts are and where they're coming from and how you're receiving them. Oh, she gave me a funny look. Oh, wait, that's creating an emotion in me.
Yes.
I need to get that under control. And so just having all of that information helps us make better choices in receiving those messages. Mm-hmm. Or rejecting them.
Yes, yes. And I just about made that mistake. If we've got 30 seconds, I had even told you about some particular person that I thought I might have offended because they seemed like they had withdrawn. Well, I prayed about that, and the Lord allowed an opportunity to where I found out that person has major trauma unknown right now. So that pulling back is a matter of surviving in their own pain.
Wow.
So we don't want to assume.
Yeah.
We want to always be ready to help, but then recognize, Lord, there may be a time when if we stepped in front, we might hinder. So then we need to have the wisdom of God. A lot more we can do on our next show. But hopefully this has caused some people to want to tuned in for the miraculous wonders of the body.
Okay, well, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.